The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
I hope you had a good rest. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Wednesday, March 15th, 2023, Wednesday of the third week of Lent. In the Missal, it's a liturgical year A, cycle 1. Wednesday is a day to pray the glorious mysteries of the Rosary. And our saint today is Saint Louise de Marillac, born in 1591 in France. She wanted to become a nun, but on the advice of her confessor, she married Antony Legras, an official in the Queen's service. After Antony's death, Saint Vincent de Paul became her spiritual advisor. She devoted the rest of her life to working with him. She was responsible, at least in part, for the founding of the Sisters of Charity of Saint Vincent de Paul. She traveled across Europe, establishing her sisters in hospitals, orphanages, and other institutions. By the time of her death in Paris, the congregation had more than 40 houses in France. Since then, they have spread all over the world. St. Louise de Marillac died in 1660. St. Louise, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. My God, I give you this day. I offer you now all of the good that I shall do, and I promise to accept for love of you all of the difficulty that I shall meet. Help me to conduct myself during this day in a manner pleasing to you. Amen. And with Pope Francis, we pray for those who have suffered harm from members of the Church. May they find within the Church herself a concrete response to their pain and suffering. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the Gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. For this Mass, today, Wednesday of the third week of Lent, the Holy Church gives us a selection from Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." This gospel is paired with the opening reading from Deuteronomy, wherein Moses says, "For what great nation is there that has gods so close to it as the Lord? Our God is to us whenever we call upon him. Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today?" There is a tension here. A tension between the scribes and Pharisees feel that you are teaching something so new that it will be to abolish the law and the prophets. But Lord, again, as you said, "I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill." Then, Jesus, what do you mean for me? What do you want me to understand as fulfillment of these commandments which you have me do? John Paul II, in his encyclical Veritatis Splendor, takes up about the natural law. He said, "It is nothing other than the light of understanding infused in us by God, whereby we understand what must be done and what must be avoided. God gave this light and this law to man at creation. He did so in the history of Israel, particularly in the 10 words, the commandments of Sinai, whereby he brought into existence the people of the covenant and called them to be his own possession among the peoples, a holy nation, which would radiate his holiness to all peoples. The gift of the Decalogue was a promise and a sign of that new covenant, in which the law would be written in a new and definitive way upon the human heart, replacing the law of sin, which had disfigured that heart. In those days, a new heart would be given, for it would dwell in it dwell a new spirit, the Spirit of God. Pharisees had difficulty understanding this, but yet, Lord, from the gift you have given me and all of us, we stand on the shoulders of many of saints who have taken up this new spirit with a new heart and have lived as another Christ in the world. Help me to see how it comes to me today, the call for me to be a saint. I know it will be dealing with you, loving you, following you in such a way that I have your sight, the way you look at people, that I have your voice and your care, your heart, this mind and heart of yours. But where do I begin? St. John Paul gives us a hint again. The commandments thus represent the basic condition for love of neighbor. At the same time, they are the proof of that love. They are the first necessary step on the journey toward freedom, its starting point. The beginning of freedom, St. Augustine writes, is to be free from crimes such as murder, adultery, fornication, theft, fraud, sacrilege, and so forth. When one is without these crimes, and every Christian should be without them, one begins to lift up one's head towards freedom. But this is only the beginning of freedom, not perfect freedom. Jesus, help me to not stop at the beginning of freedom, but keep going, for my freedom is for much more than just negatively avoiding crimes. The Pharisees perhaps understood this a little bit, although they focused mainly on those commandments. In Mark, we have a scene, Lord, when one of the scribes came up and questioned you. As it is Mark 12, one of the scribes, when he came forward and heard them disputing and saw how well he, you Jesus, answered them, asked him, which is the first of all the commandments? Jesus replied, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Lord, you replied then with what we call the great commandment. And I want that written on my heart, brightly, the source of all that I do. Teach me to find my neighbor, the ones around me, as you did when in Luke's version of the great commandment, you were asked, and who is my neighbor? And you went on to give us, Jesus, that other matchless parable of the Good Samaritan. I want to be that Good Samaritan, Lord. I want to have that heart and mind of yours. John Paul goes on by saying, Jesus brings God's commandments to fulfillment, particularly in the commandment of love of neighbor, by interiorizing their demands and bringing out their fullest meaning. Love of neighbor springs from a loving heart, which, precisely because it loves, is ready to live out the loftiest challenges. Jesus shows that the commandments must not be understood as a minimum not to be gone beyond, but rather as a path involving a moral and spiritual journey towards perfection, at the heart of which is love. Thus, the commandment, you shall not murder, becomes a call to an attentive love which protects and promotes the life of one's neighbor. The precept prohibiting adultery becomes an invitation to a pure way of looking at others, capable of respecting the spousal meaning of the body. Jesus himself is the living fulfillment of the law, inasmuch as he fulfills its authentic meaning by the total gift of himself. He himself becomes a living and personal law, who invites people to follow him through the Spirit. He gives the grace to share his own life and love, and provides the strength to bear witness to that love in personal choices and actions. Perhaps, Lord, to help us along, we can think of the history of a saint, Maria Goretti. The story of Maria Goretti, virgin and martyr, is a simple one. It can be told in a few words, and yet it involves a drama of awesome proportions, one repeated throughout the centuries. It is the story of an innocent young girl killed in an attempted rape, but who gave extraordinary witness to that virtue of chastity in which our day is so misunderstood and even mocked and ridiculed. Alessandro Serinelli, her killer, was sentenced to 30 years in prison. But after 27 years of imprisonment, Alessandro was released. He was spared 3 years of confinement due to being a model prisoner. After various wanderings as a farm laborer, he was to spend the rest of his life living in a Capuchin monastery at Macerata. There, the good Capuchins called him brother. In the chapel of the monastery, Alessandro was able to attend daily mass and to find peace and solitude. He went to visit Assunta Goretti, the mother of Maria Goretti, whom he had last seen 31 years before at his trial. Begging Assunta's forgiveness, she placed her hands on his head, caressed his face, and gently said, "Alessandro, Marietti forgave you. Christ has forgiven you, and why should I not also forgive? I forgive you, of course, my son. Why have I not seen you sooner? Your evil days are past, and to me you are a long-suffering son." The next morning, people in the village of Coronaldo witnessed what could only happen among the poor of Christ. Assunta Goretti, with head held high and tears falling back, took Alessandro Serinelli by the hand as a mother takes a son, and led him to Mass at the altar rail, side by side, she and he who had killed her daughter, raised open their mouths to partake of the flesh and blood of Jesus. From that time, he was welcomed in that profoundly Christian family of the Gorettis as Uncle Alessandro. The law had condemned him, but Lord, the new law, your law, in which we pray to live in our whole heart, finds mercy, finds a way ahead. May I see others the way this holy woman saw this son of hers, who was the killer of her daughter. Help me to have also the ways of your mind and heart, this new law written on my heart, this new way of being for the others in self-gift. Mary, intercede for me that I may have this. It is a difficult thing. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help for putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.
You'll find more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. It's 16 minutes past the hour on Daybreak. It's Wednesday of the third week of Lent. I'm Paul Sadek, and this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We open up this day of prayer with the whole church as we're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in the Invitatory Psalm and the Office of Readings.
Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
The Lord's is the earth and all its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas, on the waters he made it firm.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
He shall receive blessings from the Lord, and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant. The Lord, the valiant in war.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies. He is the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Wherever you are, Lord, there is mercy, there is truth.
Wherever you are, Lord, there is mercy, there is truth.
I will sing forever of your love, O Lord. Through all ages, my mouth will proclaim your truth. Of this I am sure, that your love lasts forever, that your truth is firmly established as the heavens. With my chosen ones, I have made a covenant. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your dynasty forever and set up your throne through all ages. The heavens proclaim your wonders, O Lord. The assembly of your holy ones proclaims your truth. For who in the skies can compare with the Lord? Or who is like the Lord among the sons of God? A God to be feared in the council of the holy ones, great and dreadful to all around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is your equal? You are mighty, O Lord, and truth is your garment. It is you who rule the sea in its pride. It is you who still the surging of its waves. You crushed the monster Rahab and killed it, scattering your foes with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours, the world is yours. It is you who founded the earth and all it holds. It is you who created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon shout with joy at your name. Yours is a mighty arm, O Lord. Your hand is strong, your right hand ready. Justice and right are the pillars of your throne. Love and truth walk in your presence. Happy the people who acclaim such a king, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who find their joy every day in your name, who make your justice the source of their bliss. For you, O Lord, are the glory of their strength. By your favor it is that our might is exalted. For our ruler is in the keeping of the Lord, our King, in the keeping of the Holy One of Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Wherever you are, Lord, there is mercy, there is truth.
When the Son of God came into this world, he was born of David's line.
When the Son of God came into this world, he was born of David's line.
Of old you spoke in a vision. To your friends, the prophets, you said, I have set the crown on a warrior. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil anointed him. My hand shall always be with him, and my arm shall make him strong. The enemy shall never outwit him, nor the evil man oppress him. I will beat down his foes before him and smite those who hate him. My truth and my love shall be with him. By my name his might shall be exalted. I will stretch out his hand to the sea and his right hand as far as the river. He will say to me, You are my Father, my God, the rock who saves me. And I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. I will keep my love for him always. For him, my covenant shall last. I will establish his dynasty forever, make his throne endure as the heavens. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
When the Son of God came into this world, he was born of David's line.
Once for all, I swore to my servant David, his dynasty shall never fail.
Once for all, I swore to my servant David, his dynasty shall never fail.
If his sons forsake my law and refuse to walk as I decree, and if ever they violate my statutes, refusing to keep my commands, then I will punish their offenses with the rod. Then I will scourge them on account of their guilt. But I will never take back my love. My truth will never fail. I will never violate my covenant, nor go back on the word I have spoken. Once for all I have sworn by my holiness, I will never lie to David. His dynasty shall last forever. In my sight his throne is like the sun, like the moon it shall endure forever, a faithful witness in the skies. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. God, you anointed your servant Jesus with holy oil and raised him higher than all kings on earth. In this, you fulfilled the promise made to David's descendants and established a lasting covenant through your firstborn son. Do not forget your holy covenant, so that we who are signed with the blood of your son through the new sacrament of faith may sing of your mercies forever.
Once for all, I swore to my servant David, his dynasty shall never fail.
Turn back to the Lord and do penance.
Be renewed in heart and spirit.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The tent, which was called the meeting tent, Moses used to pitch at some distance away, outside the camp. Anyone who wished to consult the Lord would go to this meeting tent outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, the people would all rise and stand at the entrance of their own tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses entered the tent, the column of cloud would come down and stand at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. On seeing the column of cloud stand at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise and worship at the entrance of their own tents. The Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as one man speaks to another. Moses would then return to the camp, but his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, would not move out of the tent. Then Moses said, "Do let me see your glory." He answered, "I will make all my beauty pass before you, and in your presence I will pronounce my name, Lord, I who show favors to whom I will, I who grant mercy to whom I will. But my face you cannot see, for no man sees me and still lives." Here, continued the Lord, is a place near me where you shall station yourself on the rock. When my glory passes, I will set you in the hollow of the rock and will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand so that you may see my back, but my face is not to be seen. Having come down in a cloud, the Lord stood with Moses there and proclaimed his name, Lord. Thus the Lord passed before him and cried out, "The Lord, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity, continuing his kindness for 1,000 generations, and forgiving wickedness and crime and sin, yet not declaring the guilty guiltless, but punishing children and grandchildren to the third and fourth generation for their father's wickedness. Moses at once bowed down to the ground in worship. Then he said, "If I find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company. This is indeed a stiff-necked people, yet pardon our wickedness and sins and receive us as your own." As Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the commandments in his hands, he did not know that the skin of his face had become radiant while he conversed with the Lord. When Aaron then and the other Israelites saw Moses and noticed how radiant the skin of his face had become, they were afraid to come near him. Only after Moses called to them did Aaron and the other rulers of the community come back to him. Moses then spoke to them. Later on, all the Israelites came up to him, and he enjoined on them all that the Lord had told him on Mount Sinai. When he finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses entered the presence of the Lord to converse with him, he removed the veil until he came out again. On coming out, he would tell the Israelites all that had been commanded. Then the Israelites would see that the skin of Moses' face was radiant. So he would again put the veil over his face until he went in to converse with the Lord. The word of the Lord. Moses veiled his face to hide it from the people of Israel. But we reflect the glory of the Lord with unveiled faces and grow ever more radiant as we are transformed into his likeness by the Lord who is Spirit. To this day, that same veil lies over their minds. But we reflect the glory of the Lord with unveiled faces and grow ever more radiant as we are transformed into his likeness by the Lord who is Spirit.
From the book addressed to Autolycus by St. Theophilus of Antioch, Bishop. If you say, "Show me your God," I will say to you, "Show me what kind of person you are, and I will show you my God." Show me, then, whether the eyes of your mind can see and the ears of your heart can hear. It's like this. Those who can see with the eyes of their bodies are aware of what is happening in this life on earth. They get to know things that are different from each other. They distinguish light and darkness, black and white, ugliness and beauty, elegance and inelegance, proportion and lack of proportion, excess and defect. The same is true of the sounds we hear, high or low or pleasant. So it is with the ears of our heart and the eyes of our mind in their capacity to hear or see God. God is seen by those who have the capacity to see him, provided that they keep the eyes of their mind open. All have eyes, but some have eyes that are shrouded in darkness, unable to see the light of the sun. Because the blind cannot see, it does not follow that the sun does not shine. The blind must trace the cause back to themselves and to their eyes. In the same way, you have eyes in your mind that are shrouded in darkness because of your sin and evil deeds. A person's soul should be clean, like a mirror reflecting light. If there is rust on the mirror, his face cannot be seen in it. In the same way, no one who has sin within him can see God. But if you will, you can be healed. Hand yourself over to the doctor, and he will open the eyes of your mind and heart. Who is to be the doctor? It is God, who heals and gives life through his word and wisdom. Through his word and wisdom, he created the universe, for by his word the heavens were established, and by his spirit in all their array. His wisdom is supreme. God, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he arranged the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths broke forth and the clouds poured out the dew. If you understand this and live in purity and holiness and justice, you may see God. But before all, faith and the fear of God must take the first place in your heart, and then you will understand all this. When you have laid aside mortality and been clothed in immortality, then you will see God according to your merits. God raises up your flesh to immortality along with your soul, and then, once made immortal, you will see the immortal one if you believe in him now. This is the time for us to win God's favor. This is the day to be saved. Let us strive to please him by patient endurance and fasting.
Arming ourselves with integrity and relying on his power.
In all we do, let us show that we are the servants of God by patient endurance and fasting.
Arming ourselves with integrity and relying on his power.
Let us pray. Grant, we pray, O Lord, that schooled through Lenten observance and nourished by your word, through holy restraint, we may be devoted to you with all our heart and be ever united in prayer. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
22 minutes before the hour, today's gospel is coming up in just a few minutes, as well as In Conversation with God and Morning Prayer on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app for Wednesday, March 15th, 2023. I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, the Lord tells his disciples, "I want to set you straight about why I came." It's from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew.
"Think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But he who does them and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven."
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. You'll find daily and Sunday Mass readings on the Relevant Radio app. In today's world, it sometimes seems nearly impossible to really be a Christian. But that's just what God is calling us to do. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 2, Lent and Eastertide. God doesn't ask anything impossible. He expects all Christians to live the Christian virtues in their entirety, even if they find themselves in environments that seem to be moving farther and farther away from God. He will give the graces necessary for being faithful in such difficult situations. Furthermore, the good example he expects of all of us will often be the means of making Christ's doctrine attractive to others and of evangelizing the world once again. Many Christians, as they lose their supernatural outlook and hence the real influence of grace on their lives, seem to think that the ideal proposed by Christ needs to be modified and adapted if ordinary people of our day and age are to be able to live it. They do not know how to stand their ground when confronted with moral dilemmas at work or when discussions arise on the morality of marriage. They allow themselves to be influenced by the atmosphere of permissiveness and sensuality surrounding them. They give in to a more or less generalized pursuit of comfortable well-being, just like everyone else. We must teach people through our own lives. We will have our faults, but we'll be trying to overcome them, that the Christian virtues can be lived in the middle of all honest undertakings, and that being understanding towards the defects and errors of others is not the same as lowering our own standards and sitting loose to the demands made by the Gospels. So as to grow in the human and supernatural virtues as well as in grace, we need to make a personal effort to develop the practice of these virtues in our everyday lives until we acquire authentic habits, and not only the appearance of virtue. The facade appears full of strength and resilience, but how much softness and lack of willpower there is within. You must hold to your determination not to let your virtues become fancy dress, but clothes that define your character. St. John Chrysostom urges us to struggle in our interior life like little children at school. First, says the saint, they learn the shape of the letters. Then they begin to distinguish the strokes, and thus, step by step, they learn to read. If we divide up the virtues into different parts, we can learn first, for example, not to speak badly of people. Then, passing to another letter, we can learn not to envy anybody. We can learn never under any circumstances to be a slave to the body. We can learn not to give way to gluttony. Passing on from there to the spiritual letters, we shall study continence, mortification of the senses, chastity, justice, and scorn for vainglory. We should try to be modest and of contrite heart. Let us link virtues together and write them on our souls. We have to do all this in our own home, with our friends, with our wives, with our children. What is important is that we should make a definite and loving decision to strive after virtue in our everyday affairs. The more we practice performing these good acts, the easier we will find them to do next time. In this way, we will identify ourselves more and more with Christ. Our Lady, model and school of all virtues, will teach us to achieve our wish if we turn to her for help and advice. She will make it easier for us to reach the target we have set ourselves in our particular examination of conscience, in which we will often decide to aim at the acquisition of a very specific virtue. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. 14 minutes before the hour, and it's time to pray. We join the whole church now. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Give joy to your servant, Lord. To you I lift up my heart.
Give joy to your servant, Lord.
To you I lift up my heart.
Turn your ear, O Lord, and give answer, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am faithful. Save the servant who trusts in you.
You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Give joy to your servant, Lord, for to you I lift up my soul.
O Lord, you are good and forgiving, full of love to all who call. Give heed, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the sound of my voice.
In the day of distress I will call you, and surely you will reply. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, nor work to compare with yours.
All the nations shall come to adore you and glorify your name, O Lord. For you are great and do marvelous deeds, you who alone are God.
Show me, Lord, your way, so that I may walk in your truth. Guide my heart to fear your name.
I will praise you, Lord. I will praise you, Lord, my God, with all my heart and glorify your name forever. For your love to me has been great. You have saved me from the depths of the grave.
The proud have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. To you they pay no heed.
But you, God of mercy and compassion, slow to anger, O Lord, abounding in love and truth, turn and take pity on me.
O give your strength to your servant, and save your handmaid son. Show me a sign of your favor, that my foes may see to their shame, that you console me and give me your help.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. God of mercy and goodness, when Christ called out to you in torment, you heard him and gave him victory over death because of his love for you. We already know the affection you have for us. Fill us with a greater love of your name, and we will proclaim you more boldly before men and happily lead them to celebrate your glory.
Give joy to your servant, Lord. To you I lift up my heart.
Blessed is the upright man who speaks the truth.
Blessed is the upright man who speaks the truth.
Hear, you who are far off, what I have done. You who are near, acknowledge my might.
On Zion, sinners are in dread. Trembling grips the impious. Who of us can live with the consuming fire? Who of us can live with the everlasting flames?
He who practices virtue and speaks honestly, who spurns what is gained by oppression, brushing his hands free of contact with a bribe, stopping his ears lest he hear of bloodshed, closing his eyes lest he look on evil.
He shall dwell on the heights. His stronghold shall be the rocky fastness, his food and drink in steady supply.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed is the upright man who speaks the truth.
Let us celebrate with joy in the presence of our Lord and King. Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has worked wonders. His right hand and his holy arm have brought salvation. The Lord has made known his salvation, has shown his strength to the nations. He has remembered his truth and love for the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, ring out your joy. Sing psalms to the Lord with the harp, with the sound of music. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, acclaim the King, the Lord. Let the sea and all within it thunder, the world and all its peoples. Let the rivers clap their hands and the hills ring out their joy. Rejoice at the presence of the Lord, for he comes to rule the earth. He will rule the world with justice and the peoples with fairness. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have revealed your justice to all nations. We stood condemned, and you came to be judged in our place. Send your saving power on us, and when you come in glory, bring your mercy to those for whom you were condemned.
Let us celebrate with joy in the presence of our Lord and King.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. The Lord your God has chosen you from all the nations on the face of the earth to be a people peculiarly his own. It was because the Lord loved you, and because of his fidelity to the oath he had sworn to your fathers, that he brought you out with his strong hand from the place of slavery and ransomed you from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand then that the Lord your God is God indeed, the faithful God, who keeps his merciful covenant to the thousandth generation toward those who love him and keep his commandments. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
From those who would trap me with lying words.
And from the hunter's snare.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
The Lord said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill them."
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our lives.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill them." Blessed be God, the giver of salvation, who decreed that mankind should become a new creation in himself, when all would be made new. With great confidence, let us ask him,
Lord, renew us in your spirit.
Lord, you promised a new heaven and a new earth. Renew us daily through your Spirit,
that we may enjoy your presence forever in the heavenly Jerusalem.
Lord, renew in us your Spirit.
Help us to work with you to make this world alive with your Spirit,
and to build on earth a city of justice, love, and peace.
Lord, renew us in your Spirit.
Free us from all negligence and sloth,
and give us joy in your gifts of grace.
Lord, renew us in your Spirit.
And deliver us from evil,
and from slavery to the senses, which blinds us to goodness.
Lord, renew us in your Spirit.
And now we pause to express our own needs and those of our community.
Lord, renew us in your Spirit.
Now let us offer the prayer Christ has given us as the model for all prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Grant, we pray, O Lord, that schooled through Lenten observance and nourished by your word, through holy restraint, we may be devoted to you with all our heart and be ever united in prayer. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Morning Air is coming up with John and Glenn in just a few minutes. Patrick Madrid a bit later on. I'm Paul Sadek. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the Relevant Radio app. Go out and make it a great day and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.